screwing a little bit. Sounds like your head screwed on, so we're really focused. And I think we're exactly the sort of person we're looking for. I think we're in real fun.
Good morning, everyone. It's Get This Around the Nation with Mayor myself, Tony Mark.
Potentially shy person with few social skills.
Oh, that's not a fair answer. Wow, he's gone himself. That's what I like. Come in with that clip.
Yeah.
Tried to pass it off on you here.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone, nah.
How dare you?
That's pure mark on that clip.
That's not DI. Excellent in a social setting.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to stop finding those clips then. That means
some more. You're all down today, aren't you, Ed?
Yeah, what's that?
What happened over the weekend up Queensland Way?
Well, Squid. On the YouTube, the short film that Joshua Lawson and myself are in.
Yeah.
Made by a couple of our friends from Brisbane.
How many hits?
Over 6,000.
Over 6,000. That's the mark of quality.
Well, most of those are just people looking for Kappa's caboodle work. But
and you're just checking how many hits it's got.
Sure.
Because then every time you check, it adds a new hit.
You just be quiet. Anyway, we were up for a bunch of Young Filmmaker Awards.
A bunch? How many?
Seven.
Seven awards?
Seven nominations. We
wow.
were at Dances with Wolves.
And where was this festival in Queensland?
In Queensland, yep.
Mm-hmm.
At Ripley's. A glittering night at Ripley's for the Young Filmmakers Awards.
Okay, seven. So how many did you take? Three, four? All seven?
None.
Zero.
It's like the colour purple.
Oh. Up for everything, got nothing. Mm. Where did you go wrong? Speeches not long enough?
Absolutely right. Not enough cravats on. Not enough thanking Kate Blanchett and, you know, Jeffrey Tambor and...
Jeffrey Tambor, yeah.
And heads of film festivals.
Talking about?
So, okay. Got enough Margaret Pomeranz clones in our entourage.
The film.
Hoop earrings and brushed forward grey hair.
Who did kick your ass then?
Some bloke or dude who made a film that opened with.
Opened with?
Yeah.
Hang on, who in the year? Shot of a syringe showing to someone's arm. Yes or no?
Now, that's what they give away. The award is just a syringe. No, it's not. It was a girl walking down an alleyway with raining and she had an umbrella.
No.
I mean, you can tell straight away.
What can you tell? That it's raining.
It's not going to be fun.
Wow, the bitterness. Let's see if we can bring some more bitterness out of this one. Over the course of the
unbelievable
2 hours.
You know what it tells me?
Or if you're listening in Adelaide, 1 hour. What does it tell you?
How many gongs did Meatballs take home, Rich?
Yeah, exactly none. No. I can recall. I think Meatballs 4 took home a few for flimsiest girls' shower structure.
For a slightly packed North Brigade.
Sometimes the things aren't appreciated in their time. The true rebels always walk alone.
What do you mean?
Well, the real visionaries are never Van Gogh never sold a painting. Famously.
Orson Welles never won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Scorsese.
Oh, did he win one?
No, he's got one. Okay, he's rubbish then.
Cigar?
Hitchcock.
Hitchcock never got one?
Never got an Oscar.
Dangerfield.
Dangerfield. Look at the big names.
Deloitte. Okay, I can see this is really building, and over the, you know, we're going to get this out of you over the next 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Find out what the real story is here. So take your tablets. What about Mr. Marvlin? First, we don't tune in to see if he's going to be on rope. I'd given up on him ever being on it again.
Same.
Didn't bother to tune in.
Nope.
Apparently he starred.
No, I had...
you did the opening monologue. Rove just kind of leaned in and got a finger in at the last minute.
No, I did
what
that.
Was the deal?
Did the news, I did everything.
I popped up on... No, I didn't make mention of it in the office on Friday that I had to go and film a sketch.
No, you did. You said, I've got to go to Rove.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it just meant you guys were going for a rub down.
But no, I had a line in Lion Sheldon's wonderful right ear segment.
How he's clawing his way back.
Right ears.
Right. What was your role? What did you do?
I played a store shop owner.
A store shop owner?
A guy with food.
A guy who runs a shop that sells shops, is what you're telling us.
A greengrocer. And I had the apron and everything.
The Anastasia tie next
to it? No, I didn't have the Zapata. But no. I did have the lion strudel, sashimi, ravioli, carpaccio, or cappuccino.
That would have been way longer in the early draft, too.
Back in the back.
To duck in.
They had to cut me down.
Sandwich.
Okay, so what's going on there?
Well, the theory being that Ryan has created his own language.
Right.
Because all the different kinds of languages of the world
uh-huh.
are too confusing. Uh-huh. Words like strudel, ravioli, cappuccino,
So who'd you step over to get that role?
Yeah.
Who got boned? Michael Chamberlain. Who hit the floor? Declan Fay.
Declan Fay, Michael Chamberlain.
I mean, you're white-handing your way back up to the top. That's right.
Gary Sweet. I want to say Mike McCall Jones,
but
I can't get that in there. I don't even know if that's... Is that his name?
Mike McCall Jones.
Yeah, that's right.
He was like the head comedy writer on every single Comedy Tonight show made in this country up until Roe. I mean, once again, boned by Marsden.
Bang.
Work that out.
That's the point I was trying to get.
I can't believe I've missed that. I can't believe we don't have a clip.
Yeah, I know.
Instead, we're going to have to play a clip from what I was watching when this was going to air.
Which was?
Crime Investigation Network.
Hey.
Police did
their back at it.
Someone finally copped a capsicum spray to the face. I've been waiting for it for two series.
And?
I have a listen to this. This is a bloke who's just robbed a liquor store. He's been chucked in the back of a police car. We pick up the action already in progress.
It was your decision to go in there. You made that choice to steal that bottle of bourbon. Or bottle of rum.
But Simon doesn't accept the consequences, and on the way back to the station, he decides the only way to get out of trouble is to escape from the moving police car, and then fight the police as they try to stop him. But this only leads to a dose of pepper spray and another charge of resisting arrest.
I can see. Just get your feet in the car.
There you go. I can see.
That is the most violence we've ever heard on New Zealand cops.
It's like a riot. There would have been a Rodney King-style investigation after that.
The first time a cop's ever had to do anything.
How did he try and get the bourbon out? Dress it up as a baby? Nurse it out of there?
This was his brilliant plan. He walked into the shop. He took it off the shelf.
Uh-huh.
And he just ran for the door. Simple as that.
And I think for the purposes of the podcast, it's slate bourbon as well. And nothing's as good as slate.
Yeah.
Good.
It's lovely with capsicum spray.
No worry about all the cameras in the shop. In fact, I think he gave him a take too. I think in case you missed that, I'll go back. I'll give you another one.
You should just get
down the barrel.
All right. Look, this show is in pieces on the floor.
I can see. You make a good point.
Capsicum spray to the face. That's convincing.
So much,
Your Honour. Right here on Triple M.
Better than
hear this. Quite possibly here at Triple M around the nation. It's time to talk snacks. It's time to talk food. Let's get some sizzle going, Mr. Marathon. What about them?
Banana Shakedown in India.
I'm not going to do the voice.
A man accused of stealing and eating a gold necklace has been forced by police to eat bananas until he vomits up the booty. The man was allegedly seen swallowing the necklace, and an X-ray then found it in his esophagus. He was forced to eat 36 bananas till he brought it up again. So hang on, he's been accused of eating the necklace. So someone must have seen him eat it, or else how would they know?
Exactly.
So they're taking him to get x-rays.
Found the necklace.
Well, so what, he's denied it?
Yeah.
He's denied it, so... Right, then we'll watch that on the x-ray.
That's one I ate earlier.
Right, get the bananas. Bring the bananas in.
Your breath smells of pearls, young man.
Why would they go that way? Why would they want him to bring it up again? Why not just let it play through?
No time.
Why not let nature take its course?
No time.
What?
Well, is that if you were going to purchase a necklace for your wife,
yeah,
and you're in the jewelry shop and they're like, well, this one's a bit cheaper.
Why is that one cheaper?
No reason, just
got some stuff.
Okay, so it's fine if it's
been, well, fine.
If it's spewed up, it's fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
We can't wait for it to go all the way through.
Good thing for Thorpey to do. I know Thorpey's got some jewellery coming out.
Yes.
Maybe Thorpey could release the jewellery at the opening.
So if it's been through Thorpey,
yeah.
It's worth more.
Absolutely right.
Okay.
Big musical number.
And now the Thorpey Pearl.
Drops the deck.
Hang on. Here it comes. I've got it. I've got a Thorpey.
It could have been worse. It could have been the
why are they making him spew it up? Why not let it go through? You're saying just because of the smell. And we can't wait that long. We need it now. Someone has to wear that banana cake freshly vomited up necklace to the Oscars. All right. Okay. Wow, where did you get that fabulous necklace? In some thieves' vomit. All right, this is meant to be the food segment, and I feel quite ill. What have you got over there, Mr. Marvel?
What would you like here, the double pounder or the four-year-old stuck in the vending machine?
Vending machine. Now, hang on, we're talking snacks.
Okay.
What about this double pounder? I saw photos of this over the weekend. This is a burger that doesn't appear on the board. Yeah, well, any number of burger chains.
It's sort of under the counter.
Right.
You've got to sort of give them a bit of a wink and a smile and touch your nose.
Yeah.
And you get yourself some sort of double pounder. What is it?
Yeah. How many patties?
8 meat patties.
Wow.
9 slices of cheese.
Ooh.
That's 320 grams of fat, though.
Jeez.
The equivalent of more than 3 days' worth of fat for a grown man, or almost 5 deep pan Hawaiian pizzas, or 45 tin pans.
Wow.
Or breakfast bread.
Hey, wait a second.
One of the two.
Maybe you just make a burger out of some of these Super Supremes. You tried the pizza burger?
What? No. You can't get your hand around it.
Well, how do you work these 8 patties?
How does that work?
Can you get your face around it, Rich?
Well, there's a video, actually, I think.
There's not.
Already. What? As soon as something happens, it's always on YouTube.
Of that Mexican guy.
Yeah.
Knocking one back instantly.
8 patties. He would eat them on a shish kebab. Just be... chowing through them. So they've got a 17-year-old kid on YouTube plowing his way through one of those burgers and exploding.
Okay. So what's on the menu so far? We've got a necklace that's been through Thorpe. We've got the 8 meat patty burger only available under the counter. Why not finish it off with some of Britney's Perco Pops?
What's that?
In the new weekly this week, Britney Spears is parked...
Oh, no.
Spark speculation. She's using drug-laced lollipops to possibly get high. After the singer was seen passing around a lollipop to 3 other people in her car, rumours started it was actually a Perco Pop.
What's Perco?
The latest secret in Hollywood. Everyone's doing them. You have to get them from a doctor, but Britney and her pals could easily tap into a supply... There's an insider.
Lollipop insider.
That's a great quote, that one. Britney and her pal could easily tap into a supply of lollipops. That's right. They contain a powerful opiate called Dactic, a highly addictive drug used to treat cancer patients who have built up a tolerance to other painkillers. So that's how strong the gear Britney needs.
Just to feel it.
Just to feel anything. Several times stronger than heroin.
Whoa.
Britney may look like she's fucking a lollipop, but those lollipops are loaded.
Oh, yeah.
Claimed an insider. She's been using them for months. She'll whip one out and start passing it around so everyone can get off on it. Perco Pop could give Kayfed the excuse he needs to take the boy, said an insider. Once again, when Kayfed is looking like a responsible parent. Big trouble. Standing in a pile of his own vomit in a dump basket with his pants on his head. Yes, I think he's obviously the responsible
rapping.
One. Everyone is cautioning Britney that these lollipops are addictive. Says an insider. I don't know if this is true. We've got one of these Perco Pops here.
I don't know.
This is amazing. Pops for everybody, followed by an 8 patty burger.
Yeah, like a piece of kelp.
And I can feel a necklace coming on. This around the nation on Triple M, brought to you by the Nissan Navara. Huge pulling power. We say huge pulling power. What does that actually mean, Richard?
There's so much. You can do so much with the Nissan Navara.
Yeah.
I mean, I dare say it comes, when you buy it, it comes perfectly. But you could even attach a winch or something like that, I guess.
Yeah. Thank you. around the nation, like I say, Zoo Magazine is here. I'm opening up at the Booty Bank. I don't recognise any of these artists as one of our listeners there. Where is it?
Yeah, no, it's their tone. There it is.
There you go. It shares a page with Crystal. Crystal feels sharing her page with the Booty Bank. I think she'd be on it.
Yeah.
It'd be
such
distinct worm company.
Okay,
no one has
well-lit company
successfully, well, probably found the picture of Richard Marsland they meant to stick on their butt check.
TripleM.com.au, don't forget this page. Yeah. There's a wonderful artist impression. Ken Doan's done a drawing of Richard's face.
Right.
Copy that down onto your ass, send it into the Booty Bank, and we will give you, not win promotions, we will give you a DVD player.
What an issue of Zoo, because we've got Warwick Kepper's tips on making the perfect porno. He only did one a week ago and already he's an expert.
Okay, what's he got for us?
Okay. Number one, people want clear, concise, tasteful visuals. I've got a running commentary too, which is good.
Oh,
so he's done his own commentary track.
That's a good idea.
Yes, he's doing it.
My long blonde looks.
Remember me? Got a train, make sure your hair's looking good. Make sure your hair's looking
absolutely
good.
Absolutely right.
Comb. Go to comb over if necessary. You've got to make sure you can get it up and perform on camera. Daddy, talk up.
Says Warwick Kepper. Sorry, this is just filmmaking advice from the maestro.
Always wax your ass.
Always wax your ass.
Go to the solarium. A nice brown ass looks sexual.
This is word for word.
Always smile for the money shot.
Absolutely.
Classy advice. That is the total. That's it. That's all he's left. Five.
Now, can I say that the house is on order?
Yeah.
Our copy of the Warwick Kepper sex tape is on order.
It really does. It's some great shots, but in the Zoo magazine, all the key moments are obscured by a football.
Ah, oh, yeah.
I hope that doesn't happen in the real film.
Better not.
That's a mini Sharon.
Not paying to see football. Hey, Rich.
Hey.
That's right.
Workbench. Okay, what are you paying to see?
Rockstar, my friend.
Rockstar.
As you know, I've had a weekend. Long viewing hours. Well spent. Thank you all so much.
Yeah, when I came in this morning, you were sitting at your desk humming an REO Speedwagon track. Now, you're not even old enough, surely.
I hadn't ever...
That was Keith Urban, wasn't it?
That was the wagon. That was pure wagon. You speak of the wagon a lot, you two.
Yeah.
Glowingly, and you have little wagon parties, which I'm not invited to.
I'm trying to remember the song. Did they do Can't Fight This Feeling?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, we've got to get this ship into the shore.
They also... Because on Max they do like classic film clips, and I sit around waiting for Jive Money to come on to no avail. Sitting through endless Terrence Trent Darby numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
He spent the entire 80s hanging around with long, thin dreadlocks, Milli Vanilli style, and a black bandana, hanging around bikers' bars, where apparently all the bikers wore lipstick.
It's long, thin dreadlocks.
I just don't believe you, Terrence. I just don't believe you know how to ride a motorcycle. All right, so listen, this is what they did have. Have you ever heard this one?
Telephone.
what the quality is, so you can listen to the songs that come out.
Wow, where do we get that technology?
That's so dirty. I would, you know, I would have felt cleaner if I was reenacting Warwick's caboodle work in the main street of Sydney, down George Street.
And what music would you have to accompany that?
Speedwagon concert and they busted out some of that gear. Would you storm out in Kepler?
Yes, I would.
What would you storm out of, listeners? What have you stormed out of? I saw a storm out over the weekend.
Really?
At the cinema. Let's talk about that next.
That was enough. Send me out of this room before I'm reaching into the bathroom.
Melbourne and Sydney. It's Get Destiny around the nation on Triple M. And yes, Warwick Gepper's guide to making the perfect corner is in the New Zoo magazine. I missed one of his great quotes, though. Oh, hang on. It's up for sale already.
Yep. No, it's not. I looked this morning.
You've already looked at xxxkappa.com?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing there.
No, it says if you want to buy it, you have to send them an email.
Ooh.
Write them an email saying, hello, long time pervert, first time emailer. My name's Richard, I'm on road. Trying to get a free one.
But
yeah, it should be right.
Okay. There's a nice red flag next to your name now in the technical department because you dialed up a XXX site on the work computer.
What are you saying?
Well, I would imagine that would be, there'll be a key word in there.
Yeah, there'll be bells and alarms going off somewhere in this organisation. You'll be monitored from now on. You'll be black.
But it's for work purposes, so you're in the clear.
You could like with that one.
I mean, I've got a free carte blanche now.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can blanch it up.
As long as it's work-related.
Weave it in.
Going to be alive. In case you want to know more about Warwick's porno, the movie lasts for more than an hour. We know, an hour and 9 minutes. And Kappa's delighted with the results. Stephanie, no forever involved. We usually have sex 3 times a day. Any danger of a follow-up sex tape? I'd have Jude Bolton in the sack with me. That's what it says.
Wait, the footballer?
Then I'll continue. I wouldn't want too many guys in there. That'd spoil the fun. 6 girls, me and Bolton.
Brilliant.
Only did twice. Who's Bolton?
He's a footballer.
He's a bloke.
Yeah, he's a bloke. Plays for Sydney.
There you go.
Got some long blonde locks, I think.
Well, Warwick's hard to tell who's who.
He's pitching to all crowds there.
You'd have to have someone, you know, like a little arrows. Bolton, Kappa.
Yeah,
Bolton. Who's who?
Kappa's the one with the brown sexual bum.
Smooth. Yeah. Which apparently is what people want, according to these tips.
But you know what he's actually inadvertently done?
Right.
He's given us tips for the booty bank as well.
Oh, right.
Have your ass waxed. Get it, Valerian, but just your ass. And the rest of you, nice and pale, and then a lovely bronze ass.
All right, draw Richard's face. I think that's enough ass bronzing tips for one show.
See about that.
Let's have some music. What have we got, Richard? You got a bit of, Robin Bala.
Oh,
yes. And, of course, a bit of Tony Wilson and a bit of, I don't know, I think there's a bit of politics, a bit of controversy in there.
You've never seen so many worried faces in the office on Saturday.
How do you mean?
For the room that Tony Wilson had passed away.
Oh.
And a lot of people looked at me.
It's not the Tony Wilson who comes on our show.
Not that one, but the founder of Factory Records.
Yes.
New Order and Joy Division.
Big channel life in 24-Hour Party People.
The character that Steve Coogan played in 24-Hour Party People, and who in fact was the inspiration for the character of Alan Partridge. So how weird is that?
Yeah.
Isn't there a scene in that Tristram Shandy film where the real Tony Wilson interviews Steve Coogan?
Yes.
About playing.
Yes, there is.
It's very
about 25 playing.
Extended on the DVD as well.
Okay, that's wow. 2 meter even for this program. I'm confused. My brain's hurting.
I'm lost.
Much like the stoners who have been sending in angry emails. Why was there no podcast on Friday?
I'm sorry.
It's going to be a 3-pod week. There's one today, one Wednesday, one
Friday. Okay. A lot of emails that start off angry and then just forget what they're on about and then just stop halfway through.
Okay, and get a
here's a special story. Bag Mountain just for you. Enough angry emails. Go and storm out of something. That's our topic today.
Yeah, why is our topic?
Well, I went to see the Simpsons movie.
Good decision.
Okay. Love the Simpsons.
How about that spider pig?
Well, the people in front of me, family in front of me, very Simpsons looking them own selves, stormed out, I reckon, 30 seconds in, didn't even get to the spot.
30 seconds in?
Sure, that itchy and scratchy bit at the start.
Very funny.
And he likes to get stabbed with a flag. Yeah. It's quite violent. But if you've seen the Simpsons on TV, you know what you're on for.
Right.
Whole family just got up and stormed out because of the violence of Itchy and Scratchy. I must say, I nearly stormed out of the Simpsons movie.
When?
Why is it President Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, what's the matter with that?
Isn't it Rainier Wolfcastle?
That's true. I was wondering about that too. They're trying to, you know.
What? They're trying to, what, confuse long-time viewers? Yeah. Rainier Wolfcastle, who plays McBain, sort of a send-up of Schwarzenegger, got to the movie and gone, oh, bugger it, let's just have him be Schwarzenegger now.
I think so. I think that was the I thought that was quite clever. I thought that was the joke of it.
Well, that's what I always thought. I don't think Schwarzenegger even pops up as, you know, a version of Schwarzenegger in The Simpsons, because I always thought the Rainier Wolfcastle was he's representing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I feel like all three of us are the comic shop book guy. I do remember those words came out in the wrong order. Just put it together yourselves at home, you know what I mean. I didn't storm out, though. No. But that was interesting to see a whole family storm out as one. Mm. I love a good storm out, though.
Yeah, you must have stormed out of something, don't you? You got that look about you.
I don't think I've ever stormed out of a movie. I have to think about that.
Got through Prince of Tides, did you?
Okay, I'm out. No, I didn't see the Prince of Tides.
I saw it.
What was that other one she did? Was even worse. After that, the mirror has to vomit. I thought it was me.
The audience has to vomit. There was a play on the university once called Yavuli's Flight.
I'm storming out now just thinking about it.
How dare you? Now, Yavuli was the name of a bird, a canary that was on stage. A real bird on stage, Rich. In a cage, and the bird had to live in a somewhat dank theatre for 2 weeks. Anyway, I said, listen, is anyone going to go to this play? Because we would always go on closing night, so you could go to the party, try to get some action.
Sure. Okay. You don't even know if any action was achieved, but they're high-fiving each other, listen.
But anyway, we went along.
High-five central in here, I'm telling you.
Under the promise that not only did this play have a live bird on stage, but there were norks in it.
Right.
Apparently about halfway through, it was 4 hours.
Did it say that on the poster?
No, but word had got around that there was some in it.
Okay.
So I went along with another bloke, really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And
you and Warwick Pepper.
It wasn't great. It wasn't a great play. I didn't really understand what was going on. But I was holding out for the norks and the bird. The bird came out and I thought, halfway there, the bird's pretty good. He's fluttering around. He doesn't like all the lights. He doesn't like the music. He doesn't like the Enya. I'm going to keep going because I reckon there's going to be norks in this any minute now. At interval, the first guy I was with was visibly shaking. He said, I can't listen to this crap anymore. I can't listen to it. I said, listen to me, man. Listen to me. We've done 2 hours. It's only 2 hours more. There'll be norks. I promise you there'll be norks. I promise you.
And
he left. And I stayed. And I saw some.
Okay. Second high five.
Ten.
He left. People love gimmickry in the theatre. Like I've told you before, I went to see a play in Brisbane, which was Sam Shepherd's True Wit.
Oh, yeah. In one room.
I'm like, oh, that sounds a bit boring, what is it? And I'm going, oh, it's just there's two actors, and, you know, they play this happens in the theatre, it sounds a bit boring. And I go, at one point, 100 toasters go off on stage at the same time. He goes, great, I've got to see this. He went along just to see the toasters go off. Fantastic. That's what the theatre needs, more gimmicks. But what have you stormed out of, listeners? Have you stormed out of anything, Richard?
Plenty of storm out last night in Australian Idol. People getting very irate about the judgments, mate. Lots of finger, the pen replaces the finger with the pointing. Pointing going on.
Yeah.
And it's great when they have fun at make fun of people's ages. That's nice.
I like
that. Yeah. I came in, she was about 44.
Mm.
And apparently that breaches the, goes over the age limit.
Right out of
Australian Idol. So they just made fun of her, basically. Really great viewing.
really fantastic. But the only movie I've ever actually walked out of, and I'm sorry to say this, but it's an Australian movie, Horseplay. I've never walked out of any other movie.
Horseplay.
Wow.
I mean, I had a prior engagement.
Yeah.
I had to go and see Caterpillar Wish in the other cinema.
It's like a German party.
Something like that. But Horseplay is the only film I've ever walked out of.
What was it that made you storm out? No cameo from your good self?
That's true. No, I wasn't making an appearance in Horseplay. I couldn't make any more.
Why did you go, Rick?
Well, because I had free tickets and I had to go and review it. So then I went and chipped a bucket. It
wasn't really hitting the whole thing.
Yeah, I had to get going and I didn't even actually end up reviewing it.
Well, I remember a friend. It was terrible. I worked on a film called Bad Eggs and I remember a friend of mine calling me from Horseplay, the opening day of Horseplay, and he'd just seen the trailer for Bad Eggs. He's going, mate, I've just seen the trailer for your film. And I've gone, where are you? It's Horseplay's opening day. They're running it before it. And I've gone, how did the trailer go? And he goes, I don't know. I'm the only one in the cinema. Mind you, when Bad Eggs came out, it was a similar story. But we won't go down that path. We're looking for storm out. It could have been you. It could have been something you've seen. Just give us a call. Tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Or if you call someone to storm out,
we'll
take anything. You know us. 1-3-3-5-3. Oh, thank you very much, Chili Peppers. It's Get This on Triple M. Who's storming out of something, Ed?
Hello, Colin.
Yeah, how you going, Rob?
Excellent. What'd you storm out of?
The House on Haunted Hill, which starred Jeffrey Rush, and it was just a total crock. It was a hack fest with no plot and just no hope, and even he couldn't save it.
Before you walked out, Colin?
40 minutes. I was kind of enjoying the gore, but some people we were with, some girls, sort of just said, no, it's bail. So
kind of enjoying the gore. You know, it's a remake of a 1950s movie.
Was that any good?
No, it wasn't particularly good, but it was made by William Castle, who was known as the King of the Gimmicks. And in every screening, a inflatable skeleton on a flying fox trundled out of the screen and across the heads of the audience.
That's pretty very cool. That's got all purpose in the movie.
See? People would have stuck around for that. He was also the guy who electrocuted people during a film called The Tingler.
What? Just for fun?
It was in something called Percepto, which meant that...
in the seats.
Yeah,
I heard about
every
this.
Every third seat was what... I mean, obviously, many fatalities, but lots of fun. But you're in one of the other scenes.
Lovely smell of burning flesh.
All right, Colin. Someone stormed out of a Jeffrey Rush film. Who else is storming?
James, how are you?
How you going, guys?
Good, thanks, bro. What did you storm out of?
Back when I was probably about 15, me and about 10 mates went into a movie called The Thin Red Line. We all snuck in.
Yeah.
And turned out it was an absolute crock of shit movie. It was just... It was one of the biggest pieces of, I don't know what to go on about.
It was a very arty war movie. You didn't wake up when Woody Harrelson had his dick blown up by a grenade? That didn't get you?
No, actually, I probably left by that time. Yeah, me and me mates, we all just got up and just threw whatever we had in our hands at the screens and just left.
Well, it is one of those films. To me, a lot of people will tell you that's one of the greatest films of all time.
It's slow wandering through the jungle.
It's, war's evil. Oh, let's cut to a bird with a broken wing. That's a bit film school.
It's a bit much.
Day one, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Would
have beaten us at the Queensland Film Awards. Never mind. G'day, Rick.
How you going, guys?
Good, mate. What did you walk out? What did you storm out of?
Oh, I didn't storm out. A number of years ago, my wife and I went and saw the opening night of a little art house play that starred Dee Smart and Peter Phelps. Well, I was listening to what you were describing before, and there was a bit of nudity in this particular play.
Yeah.
And Phelps, he had to do a soliloquy, a Hamlet-style soliloquy, in the bus, standing there in the nude, and there was a bit of directional pointing from Phelpsy.
Oh, hang on.
It was sideways movement, and the six gay men in the front row just decided they wouldn't stop laughing at poor old Phelps, who was in the middle of this speech.
But did anyone storm out at all?
Well, he nearly stormed out. He gave them the death stare, which unfortunately didn't have the right effect, because when they started to laugh again, the entire theatre erupted in a bit of laughter. He was very disconsolate, so much so that... he didn't come out for the final bow.
Really?
But when he did come out, he had a white bathrobe on, so everyone was a lot happier then.
Right. Well, so Phelps nearly stormed out of his own play.
He nearly stormed out, yeah.
After six men have been giggling at him doing a bit of point work.
It was point work.
Maybe he should have they've just gone, gentlemen, that's the exit over there. Where I'm pointing now. I think you know where to go.
Yeah, it was a safety thing.
All right.
Wow.
A pretty good storm out, or near storm out.
Hello to everyone who's seen Felty's gear.
Well, I'm afraid we're listening. We are going to have to storm out of our own
thing. We're going to do this again.
We are going to do this again. Take down those names, Cecilia. We'll call them back. Thanks to all who participated in the next hour. Andrea Powell. Discovered the Adam West version.
Yeah, you may as well have been going blah, 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 blah.
Oh, you've never seen?
I don't know. I can't remember.
You know enough to get by?
Yeah, that's enough for me, Richard. It's very little interest. It's great that you're enjoying it.
Come and watch it. We'll have a bowl of Dick Smith's Bush Foods. We'll kick back.
All right. See, you guys have so much in common. He loves the Dick Smith Bush food.
Yeah.
I hear you're also very interested in the breast.
Oh, he's on for a bit of an orgy.
Yeah, am I? Have
Yeah. What, Mr. Vasa? We've got company, please.
Can I ask you it? Mm. Why are you interested in partaking yourself in the breast milk bag?
I've been asking this question of everyone who'll listen, and no one can give me a straight answer.
I'll give you one. Come on.
Can I, a 20-something-year-old man, live on breast milk?
No.
Please. Why not?
Because breast milk is specifically made for babies to develop their brains and their organs. And by 6 months, they need to start eating solids to develop further.
Okay.
So it's really only meant for young. And can I just ask you this?
Yes.
How were you thinking
of obtaining it?
Yes. Did you want it delivered in the original form?
No. Milking. Milking mothers into a foam dome. Just walking around.
Found a way to combine breasts and food.
So you're saying I can't live off it? It's got all the... But hang on a second. Babies grow from, like, you know, whatever that size is, however big they get.
Yes, but breast milk changes with every few months. It changes.
More delicious?
Changes.
Caramel flavoured?
I don't think so.
It's a little bit of wafer in it?
You really need to have a cold shower.
That's a very long shout, really.
All right,
look, we haven't even opened up the boonie bank yet. No, we're not going to do that.
No.
What we're going to talk about is what have you got at your house and how did it get there? Sounds kind of dull, doesn't it?
No.
Sounds kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be, though, is it, Ed?
No, sir.
It's going to be pure gold! Lauren from that good Charlotte here at Get This on Triple M. Andrea Powell is not well, but we've dragged her in anyway for a...
Yeah, thanks for that. I was really enjoying that sleep in.
Shattering
my... necessary pulling me out by the little toe.
That's how we do things there. Triple F.
Shattering my dreams of an all breast milk diet.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, our producer Nikki doesn't look too happy.
No, I'm not saying I won't, mate.
You're not going to be tapping
go to the source.
I won't. What about Richard Marr, the man who pushed
what about him
on this show? Did you see Rogue last night, Andrew?
No, I didn't.
He hasn't been on for ages. Mm-hmm. He got to do an acting scene. I think he was in Rydeers.
Yeah, I was in Rydeers.
I love Rydeers.
I know a lot of people that tune in just for Ryan's segment.
Ryan is kicking some goals with Rydeers. And have a listen to this.
Hello, I'm hungry. Strudel, sashimi, ravioli, carpaccio, cappuccino.
There we are. Wow, what a performance.
Wow.
You know, I really believe strudel. I really believe that you had strudel.
But I sort of gave too much gas into strudel, and then the rest of it tailed off.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Cappuccino was the money shot for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I got the strudel and cappuccino temp holes in between a little bit sad.
I didn't believe carpaccio.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's great, but it was actually carpaccio.
So yeah, I wasn't even thinking at that point.
Addiction I've really got to work on.
What is carpaccio?
I think it's a bit of raw meat, isn't it?
I don't know, but
every time I don't know what something is, it always turns out to be thin bacon.
That's pretty much what it is.
Anyway, you didn't know who Mario's speed wagon were earlier.
It turns out to be cut of bacon, apparently.
Yes, now controversy, that's what you need, Richard. You need a bit of, you know, edginess to get yourself back in the headlights. Because last week on, you know, Rove last year, sorry, you were pantsless.
Yeah,
playing Mel Gibson with his genitalia pixelated. Can you imagine such a thing, Andrew?
No. Well, I can actually.
Most like
I'm imagining it right now.
The most like Warwick Campbell with the football.
Harry's wife's buttocks.
If you need some controversy, you know, Warwick Campbell is the man. He was generating a bit of one-man diddle for Yobbo's Up the Guts last year.
Yes, he was.
I don't know if you followed the Yobbo's Up the Guts story, Andrew. This is a film that was made on location during a stand-up comedy tour by Mark Jacko Jackson, Warwick Capper, and I think Bill Hunter was somehow involved.
Yes, he was.
They made a film while they were doing it called Yobbo's Up the Guts.
Yes.
Remember Warwick getting punched in the face by the Russian film director outside Woomera?
Oh, yeah.
Typical Dale to say, creative differences.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, finally coming out, Mark Jacko Jackson himself has called up
Thank you, sir.
Cecilia on the phone, and after a bit of fruity talk,
drop the zinger that the trailer is ready to go.
Great.
Now, he wants to send it into it.
We'd love to see it.
Now, obviously, YouTube is the answer, because that's where you can see Ed's fine trailers. Meat Pie, for example. Type that one in, Andrew. Meat Pie. Get back to us.
Now, let's not write it down. Capaccio.
Let's just wait and see where it goes.
So hopefully we'll have that trailer for you, so we'll find out what all the fuss is.
You're going to have an advanced screen.
Oh, your boat's up the gut. And I noticed over the weekend there was controversy in the paper over this show that Chris Lilly's doing, Summer Heights High. And there was a lot of talk that, oh, women's groups are offended by the rape jokes. And, oh, or alleged, because we haven't seen it. This could be a big, you know.
A lot of women out there need to lighten up.
Yeah,
right, don't you think?
But my point is, how do they know about them? Like, nobody's seen this show.
Yeah, you're right. We've only seen a small trailer of it.
There's
no hint of that.
You know, it's like
there's a leak at the ABC.
A new Woody Allen film. You don't get to see any of it until it comes out. Yeah. They send out a 2-minute clip. That's got no rape gags in there. Mm-hmm. I wasn't offended by anything I saw.
Mm-hmm.
So how do these groups find out about this stuff? Is this self-generated sizzle from the ABC?
Oh.
Are they making the controversy themselves?
Them Spartan words.
I was furious about those jokes I saw in this clip that nobody's got access to and hasn't been seen by anybody at all in the English-speaking world. I am furious!
Is the ABC's bestiality promos for Midsummer Murders went out, and that was a real red herring. There was none of that when you watch it.
It's all good publicity. I did a show called Midnight Mass with a bunch of other actors a couple of years ago at Trades Hall, and some Christians found out about the show. Found the title very offensive.
Yeah.
The show was somewhat offensive itself too, but they never bothered coming to see it, only because of the bad acting.
Oh, man.
But they didn't bother coming to see it. Instead, they stood outside the town hall with placards going, "Don't come see this show," and "Jesus loves," and all of that stuff.
Mm.
Never came in. Best publicity we ever got. An article in the Herald Sun, rest of the season, sold out.
That's how it works.
Thanks, Bible bashers.
Well, okay, I don't know if we've got any controversy coming up on Get This. What do we have coming up, Rich?
Strudel, sashimi, ravioli, carpaccio, cappuccino.
Delicious. That's just the starter. Well, you see what's coming next.
This will probably get me into more trouble than Flash Gordon, but what the hell?
Around the nation on Triple M, and Andrea Powell, she's not 100%, but it's allowing her to sound a bit like Dr. Melfi off The Sopranos.
I'm feeling much better just from being here.
Yeah, okay. Really?
Oh, yes.
Program has that kind of effect. Mm. What were we talking about just before we went to the ads, Mr. Martin? Can you remember?
It was a terrible
start. Too many things. It's like a tower of champagne glasses balanced in my head, this program.
Well, Warwick Kappa, we have the breast milk bank. We didn't get around to the guy in the shopping centre. Oh, no, we're talking about We Can Be Heroes.
We Can Be Heroes.
Okay. Sorry, Chris Lilly.
Chris Lilly's new show. You know, apparently over the weekend said Down syndrome groups are outraged. How would they know that there's jokes in it? Nobody's seen any.
Mm-hmm.
So it just means someone at the ABC calls up a Down syndrome group and goes, "Hey, we're making some jokes about you in the new series. You wouldn't be happy with that, would you?" "No, we're not happy." "Okay, now call the papers." Guess what's happened now? Apparently Down syndrome group's outraged by jokes we're making.
This is what we need.
You've got to generate your own controversy, apparently. This is what we're no good sitting here waiting for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to call up people and just go, call up Warwick Catherine and go, "Hey, they're making jokes about the fact you've got a football over your ass." And then you do music. What are you happy about? That's good stuff. Now you'd be angry, wouldn't you?
That's good stuff. You'd be furious.
For making fun of your
bronze ass
and your
long locks.
Yeah, you're not happy. Not happy. I knew you weren't happy, right?
Happy.
Hello, confidential. All right, Kev is furious.
Really?
That's just a story about on a show.
Oh. Nobody watches.
Have you seen my fringe on telly?
Okay. See, we're finally getting the hang of show business. But, Andrea, let's get back into the lounge room.
All right, sure.
The everyday person, because, you know, I find most people I know have something dodgy in their front room, something where you go, "Where'd you get those traffic lights?" They'd be needed in an intersection, wouldn't they? What have you got?
It helps stop hallway congestion.
Well, exactly. You know, sometimes there's a lot of traffic in that hallway.
Oh,
it's
why
the traffic gets so thin. I've got a lot of really embarrassing cat paraphernalia.
Oh,
because I bought it.
Hang on.
Because a friend, what?
See, Ed, there is something he likes more than a
cat. My arm and what is?
No, I'm just. He likes the cat.
A friend of mine, I actually have a cat, a living cat, but a friend of mine decided to buy me, some cat socks, a cat cup and saucer, some cat pajamas, a cat teapot, a cat statue, and three stuffed cats, one of which is really obscenely fat, like my own cat.
Oh.
And I had to say to her, look, enough with the cats. You know, I've actually got a cat. If I want to look at a cat, I can look at my own cat, which is breathing. No more cat stuff, but this one cat I've got that's stuffed like it's so obese. And I had a friend over the other day open my wardrobe. He's like, you've got an obese stuffed cat in your wardrobe there. And I probably won't ever see that young man again.
Hang on. Well, don't you have an obese cat, though?
My cat is obese. So my friend bought a stuffed obese cat.
The cat is the real cat going, you're just taking a piss, aren't you?
Yeah,
funny.
He hates it. It's attacked its head several times.
Ed, what have you got? Because you live at a dude ranch. The dude ranch.
Really?
Yeah, I live in a house full of dudes, Andrea.
Oh, my God. Do you put the fridge in the lounge room so you don't have to walk as far for beer?
It's funny you should say that, because we just got a second fridge. Yeah. We just got a bar fridge the other day for exactly that reason.
Wow.
It's so far.
Yeah.
It's just so far away.
Oh, you could break your kneecap.
You could miss something. You could miss something. Rihanna could bend over during the umbrella song, and you could miss it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't even know what that means.
But you're not impressed.
No.
Okay, so that's what you've got at your place?
Well, no, we just got some...
couches, Richard.
Oh, it's been here. And I know people are wondering what happened to all the furniture from the Anset Departure Lounge. At the turn of the century, they've come to us. It's imagine this, Rich. A turquoise sort of green swirl with delicious yellow ribbing.
Yep.
Mm.
How can ribbing be delicious?
Well, it's always...
That makes me think of aeroplane toilets and bad food.
I don't know what it's called.
Wait to drop around and.
You should come out. It's always the lobby of the Gosford Motor Inn at my house now.
Well, let's find out what the listeners have got at their place.
Oh, sure. And where did they get it? Because we got it from one of my flatmates' girlfriend's dad's.
It's just
stolen or put off the back of a truck.
Yeah, a bit of both.
We will accept anything. What have you got? And where did you get it? 133353. There's the B52 road here at Get This on Triple M. I just heard our panel operator Richard Martin claimed he was trapped in a house for 2 days by a cat.
That's true. I know it sounds bizarre, but...
Please, Richard, tell us it was a puma.
It should have been, but it was just a tortoise shell.
We will get
there together.
Let's find out what the listeners have got and where they got it from.
Hello, Rachel.
Hello, love the show, guys.
Thank you very much. What have you got?
I have got a 6-foot plastic, hard plastic Homer Simpson strangling Bart Simpson that I got from the cinema.
Oh.
Yeah, ooh. And all I did was I put on my courier vest.
Yeah.
Walked in with the trolley, put it on the trolley, walked out.
Oh, hang on, so this is a crime.
Yes, I'm in big trouble.
Look, I can hear police radios behind you as you speak. What's going on there?
Yeah, they're following me now.
Rachel.
And, I walked in and on the way out, the guy gave me a little wave just to say, you know, do what you got to do.
Brilliant.
So that's how I got it.
Where did you get your courier costume?
An old uniform.
Oh, right.
It's one of those, you know, those yellow vests you put on. It's got courier on the back.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah. It tells you everything. It tells onlookers everything they need to know. They see one of the yellow vests. Right. Oh, it says courier. Should we write that? What you like? Rachel, you're a genius. I mean, you're a thief, but good on you.
I'm the only one in, Melbourne with one, maybe.
Yeah. I'm sure that cinema probably had a safe as well that's getting in their way.
Thanks, guys.
Yes. Hi, Rachel.
I love that.
This is the only show where listeners wrap themselves up because they think we're going on too long. I love that.
That is our favorite. Can I tell you, listeners, that every day when that happens, we go down and listen back to it in the office.
Well,
go, guys.
Yeah. I would have got out two lines earlier, mate, but fine. Move on to your next person.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
What have you got?
I have a flatmate years ago who graduated from the police force.
Yeah.
And when we went to the graduation ceremony, we walked out with the floor rug.
Oh. This is just people ringing up with crime.
What better way to begin your life of crime detection and law enforcement than by stealing the rug you're walking on at the ceremony?
Yeah, no, it was pretty funny.
It doesn't say much for the other policeman there and no one stops you, does it, Peter?
No, not at all. But it was a bit of fun, I suppose.
So what have you done? You trying to steal the champagne glasses?
Oh, I've got a few of those too.
Really?
And where is this enormous rug now?
It's gone now. It left with one of my housemates.
There you go.
She walked out with it.
Dibbidi. All right, that's pretty good.
Peter.
Stealing a rug from a police graduation ceremony.
Like
Can we go better than that?
G'day, Matt.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Excellent. What have you got?
Good. I once had a party and a mate walked out halfway through and came back with my street sign and the pole included. I come up with an idea and I went around over the next few years and collected every street sign from every street I've lived on and added it to the pole. And then I got my wife's name and my name and also Love Street and put that on the pole. Loves me, and then every street I've lived on after that.
And did you find a real love street? Did you steal it from a real love street?
Yes, certainly did.
Jeez.
So it's erected in my backyard, and I've had to move it three times now.
Really?
Why?
Oh, just moving house. I've taken the pole and all the signs with it.
Good on you. Wouldn't it be a bummer if you'd had to move into a flat? That could be problematic.
Yeah, but what happens if the cops keep finding out where he lives and he has to move?
Does that mean you have to take the sign from that street and add it to the pole each time you move?
Oh, absolutely.
That's right, yeah.
That'll work.
Good on you, Matt. That's
quite
the most romantic bit of theft I've ever heard about.
That's what I'm money, honey.
All right, man, well done. That's all well and good, but, you know, it's past the three-quarter of an hour mark. This is a commercial radio station, and there's been no mention of Britney's spiralling drug woes.
No.
We'd better rectify that next pair of kids. That's so new, I don't know the ending of it yet. It's The Pretender by the Foo Fighters,
right, wasn't it?
It certainly was a toe-tapper.
Well, we've got Andrea Powell with us, and, you know, you probably wonder what goes on at your big international record companies who put out these songs and albums that we play.
Oh, I do. I ask myself that question a lot.
Let's cross live to the offices of an international record company on the other side of the world.
Teabagging holiday with Robbie Williams.
Gentlemen, I have something you need to hear. Bring it in, boys. It's temperature controlled safe. Let me just get it open here. Okay. I have something that is going to save this corporation. Okay, here we go. Inside here, I have a disc. Now, this has traveled halfway around the world under high security. Okay, here we go. This is the master recording. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the sound of the future. It's amazing. But who is it? I don't know. Not yet, I don't. I'm going to go to the hospital.
Ravioli, carpaccio, cappuccino.